Welcome to the St. Mark's Lutheran Church by the Narrows podcast channel. The sermon you are about to hear is from our worship service on March 31st, 2024. For more information about the community and ministries of St. Mark's, you can visit our website, smlutheran.org. There you will find the full online worship service from which this sermon is taken. And if you would like to contribute financially to help sustain the ministries at St. Mark's, you'll find information on how to do that there as well. And now, here's Pastor Audrey Lukasak with a gospel reading.
The Holy Gospel for this Easter day is written in the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved.
I don't get it. I mean, what does it take? John, he peeks in the tomb there once, and he's got this heavenly look on his face. What does he see that I don't see? I don't get it. I'm sorry, Pastor, I've interrupted your service. You can all be seated. Please go ahead. He's gone. Jesus, our friend, our teacher, our master, he's gone. It's been 2 days since he died, 2 days since they killed him, 2 days since we laid him in the tomb. Well, not that I had anything to do with that. I wasn't around for any of it. You see, I ditched him. It's to my everlasting shame that I have to confess. I disowned him. I turned my back on him. I abandoned him. I left him to his own fate while I ran away to save my own skin. So I wasn't there for his mock trial. I wasn't there to see him hanging on the cross. Well, I did see it. Some of it from a long ways away, from as near as I dared come and still save my own skin. I wasn't there to help bury him. It was left to a handful of the women from our group to stick around to the bitter end, to watch him die on the cross, to watch them lower him, to watch them move his body into that cave tomb, to watch them roll the stone over the entrance. They were there to the end. And I was hiding. But now, early this morning, around dawn, Mary Magdalene, you've heard of her, she comes running back to where the rest of us are. She's in anguish. She's just kind of destroyed. She's distressed. She cries out, "He's gone." We went in there, somebody had rolled the stone away from the tomb. His body isn't there anymore. I don't know who took him away, and I don't know where they put him, but he's gone. "Mary, what in the world are you talking about?" I say. "What kind of crazy thing is this?" And all she can do is hold up her hands in bewilderment and grief and anguish. Well, John nudges me and says, "Let's go check it out." And so we tear off for the tomb. Now, John will tell you that he outran me. Don't listen to him. Well, maybe he got there just a tiny bit ahead of me. And so John stoops in to look inside the tomb, but he doesn't go in. He waits till I get there before he dares go in. So I get there, and I go inside, and I look, and sure enough, Mary's right. There's no body. John comes in behind me then, and he looks too. He sees the grave clothes lying there, abandoned. He sees the head covering wrapped up in a corner by itself. And suddenly he gets this awestruck, beatific look on his face. "What?" I say. "What are you looking at? What's that look on your face all about? I mean, sure, Mary's right. No body, just these empty leftover grave clothes. What are you seeing? What are you thinking?" "Peter," he says, "don't you get it? Don't you understand? Don't you see?" "See what?" I say. He doesn't answer me. He just says, with this heavenly look on his face, "We got to get back and tell all the rest." And before I can say, "Tell him what?" he's tearing off back for the house where we're staying again. And so I tail after him. Neither one of us realizes that Mary has trailed behind us to the tomb, and we've abandoned her there, heading off back to the house. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't see what he sees that I can't see. Have you ever had that happen to you, that it feels like others around you are catching on to something that you can't see at all, and all you see is something else? All I saw was grave clothes. I don't get it. I don't understand.
I have seen the Lord. He is alive. I've seen the Lord. I can hardly believe it. Am I crazy? A crazy Mary with the one with all the demons? Are those voices coming back? No, I saw him. Do you believe me? I can hardly believe it myself. Only 2 days ago, we watched as Jesus died on the cross, suffering in anguish. And the voices that were tormenting him at the foot of the cross, the soldiers and the religious leaders, and even one hanging by him on the cross, those voices saying, "If you are the Messiah, save yourself and save us." Why? Why wouldn't God intervene? Jesus could raise the dead. Why couldn't he come off the cross and save himself? We thought something might happen. Maybe God would intervene. And so the women, Mary, his mother, and myself, and a few women, we stayed at the cross because we couldn't leave him alone. And we watched as he breathed his last and died. No, Jesus can't die. This can't be happening. When Jesus died, I felt a part of myself die. I felt like my hope had died. And then they took him and put him in a tomb, and they put a stone over the tomb. And I felt like it was very dark in my own life with Jesus being gone. And so when the Sabbath was over early this morning, while it was still dark, I went to the tomb. I just had to go. Something compelled me to go to look for Jesus and his body. And I went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and it was empty. And I immediately thought, someone has stolen his body. So I ran and told the disciples. And then John and Peter went to check it out for themselves, because they couldn't believe crazy Mary. And they found it empty. And then they just left. They just left me. I had to stay. I had to find his body. And so I looked into the tomb, and I saw two men in bright white robes. And they said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And then I heard someone behind me, and I thought maybe it was the caretaker. And through my tears, I said, please, if you have taken his body, just tell me where you've laid him so I can go and be there. And then I heard a voice, "Mary." It was his voice. It was the voice I heard the first time that I met Jesus, and the voice that got rid of and exorcised all the voices out of my head. As a sheep knows their shepherd, I knew the voice of my shepherd. It was Jesus. He was alive. And I could just say, "Rabboni, Master, Teacher, Lord, my Savior." And then I wanted to reach for him to know that he was really there. And he said, "Don't cling to me. Go and tell the disciples." And so I think to myself, did it really happen? Is Jesus really alive? Do you ever wonder if something so impossible, so outrageous, so crazy could be true? Yes, I did see Jesus. And because he's alive, it changes everything. Because he lives, I can live. I can have hope. I've got to go tell the disciples. And Peter, especially Peter. I don't care if they think I'm crazy. I've seen the Lord. He is alive.
So we have just heard three people who went to the tomb a few days after Jesus' death on the cross. We heard about John, we saw Peter, and we saw Mary. Can you identify with any one of them? When you hear the story of the resurrection of Jesus, are you like John, the beloved disciple, who looked into the tomb, and as soon as he saw where they had laid Jesus, that he wasn't there, John knew immediately that God is a God who keeps promises. Jesus had told his followers, the disciples, over and over before he died, that he would suffer and he would be crucified. And 3 days later, he would be raised again. John immediately knew. And there was a sense of that peace that passes all understanding. Are you like John? Or are you like Mary? Mary, who just was so grief-struck on that day when she saw her beloved Jesus, who had healed her from all those demons that she had heard in the voices. But there she was. She went in the early morning while it was dark out of her own grief. Have you ever experienced the loss of a loved one? You know that grief then. You know what was in Mary's heart. But she went because she needed to see Jesus' body one more time. But then it was after she went and looked in the tomb, she saw that the clothes they had buried him were there, but there was no Jesus. And then as we heard that she thought it was the caretaker who was in that garden with her, and it was until she heard Jesus call her name, did she recognize Jesus? Have you heard Jesus call your name sometime, even in the midst of grief? Have you experienced Jesus' presence in those moments of loss? Or do you come even this morning with lots of questions and more wondering, like Peter, who said, I don't get it. Is this really true? But did you also hear the confession in Peter's voice? He felt so much shame and so much guilt. Have you ever felt that shame or that guilt or in beating up on yourself like Peter did? Because he wasn't there at the time of Jesus' death. And then he had forgotten in that sense of beating himself up, of remembering what Jesus had said, that he would rise again. For each and every one of us, we come here this morning with different things going on in our lives, but we come for a reason, to be reminded of how Jesus rose again. He rose again for us, to give us new life. Barbara Brown Taylor describes Jesus' resurrection this way. Jesus had outgrown the tomb. What took place in the tomb was really just between Jesus and God. No one ever actually saw the actual rising of Jesus. It all took place in the tomb between Jesus and God. And when Jesus died, God said, I'm not finished with you yet, Jesus. There is work to do. I need to send you back, to go back as a living representative of who I am, of a living God. His business was to come back, to say, God can do anything. God can raise us up from death. Yes, what took place in the tomb was victory over death. But the other incredible part of this story is that what took place outside the tomb when Jesus appeared not to the people who had killed him and not to the palace where Caesar was to say, hey, look, this is what you did to me, but I am much better and bigger, and God makes things turn from death into life. But rather, Jesus went to the disciples, to the people who loved him, who had given up their careers to follow him. Jesus showed up to ordinary people like you and me. And it is in those appearances that we are reminded of Jesus lives with us. For Mary, it was hearing Jesus' voice. The Gospels tell us other times when Jesus appeared with the disciples, they didn't recognize him. One of the disciples had so much doubt, he only would believe when he could see the wounds in his hands and touch them. There was other times when they were walking along the road and they were telling what was happening and they didn't recognize Jesus. But Jesus showed up with them along that journey on that road. And another time he showed up when they were in locked room with fear. He showed up to dispel that fear. And another time he prepared a meal at the beach. And it was in that time when they came to be fed, it was then that they recognized Jesus. Today, as we come together, we come to worship our living God. We come needing to be reminded of who this Jesus is in our lives. For some, we come to listen to the great music. But you could really go to a concert to hear great music. But you come to hear the great music that is accompanied by all of God's promises for us. And that tells the story again and again. And we come singing our alleluias. We come to hear the scriptures again and hear the word proclaimed. But then we also come to bring our prayers and our concerns to God. We come to also to share in the words of affirming our faith, of the words of what we believe in. We also come sharing in the sharing of the peace. And when we share that peace, we see the living God in front of us. And then we come to a meal of where we come with open hands to have the bread and the blood of Jesus, to be reminded that through grace, God has forgiven us and God feeds us and nourishes us. We come for many different reasons today, but we come remembering that the resurrected Christ came for us. A few weeks ago, I asked some of our members to reflect on what does it mean to believe in a risen Christ. One said, death has lost its sting. There's great comfort knowing that the parting of a loved one in death is only temporary, that there will be a time we will be reunited with them. Another said, life continues after our death on earth, that God will continue to be present with us, and we are not alone. And at the cross, we see the ugly, broken side of life. In the risen Christ, it ushers us into a wholeness of life for which we've been created. The risen Christ meets us with brokenness within, and the love of grace prevails. With all the celebrations and challenges, the circumstances and choices that affect our lives, we are reminded to embrace our faith, hope, and love with God. It's not trite. It is real. It is saving grace, as one person said as she reflected of how these words, sung in a favorite song of hers, touched her heart. I also asked them, have you encountered the resurrected Christ? One said, Jesus is with me every day. He rejoices with me and supports me during times of crises. I don't live alone. I encountered the risen Christ when I spend time at the ocean and smell the salt air, knowing Christ is present, or when I listen or sing a beautiful piece of music, or when I read a poem, looking at a painting, seeing a play, watch a movie, anything that moves me, Christ is present. Christ reminds me that the most important part is Christ is present with all the people who I interact with each day. Another person said, every time we gather as a community of Christ, we are reminded of Jesus' promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He also went on to talk about when his young mother was dying and the pastor came and brought communion. And after receiving communion, the pastor talked about how she was going on a journey. And it was then that she was able to let go. This same person also talked about a time when there was a crisis in their family and there was uncertainty with one of their children. A knock came at the door. And when they opened their door, there were friends with a bottle of wine. They said, we think you could use some care. For each and every one of us, we come this day being nourished, being supported, being reminded about the risen Christ is all about for each of us. We come also knowing that we don't know where God will take us in the life ahead, but we can trust knowing that the risen Christ will be with you wherever God may lead you. So on this Easter day, may your heart be filled with the promise of the new life given to us by Jesus. And may this promise give you that love and that grace and that hope that only God is able to give, and to give you the peace and strength to be with you all the days of your life. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.
You've been listening to the St. Mark's Lutheran Church by the Narrows podcast channel. Thanks for joining us.